All right, good morning, everyone. But no, we're here to pray. We really are. And what is more important than time with the Lord, really? And so today we are going to move forward one more psalm to Psalm 115. And Psalm 115, as you will remember, says, Not unto us, O Lord, but unto you, in effect, but to your name give glory. And so when I hit that word, I said, we're going to do the same old hymn we do so many times, to God be the glory. But today we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to use hymnals. Because I was thinking about my Bible, and I like to read the Bible out of the iPad and out of the phone, but it's not like holding the Bible in my hand. So we're going to hold the book in our hand, and I'm going to ask any of you who feel like it to stand. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. But we are going to give God the glory, and if you want to stand to give God the glory, do so. And if you 273, and if you want to sit, that's fine as well. 273, and let's open in a word of prayer as you are, once you turn there. Father, we do want to give you glory. How worthy you are. We thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for bringing each one faithfully to come before you and to pray. Lead us now by your Spirit, and we want to lift our voices in song and sing this familiar hymn, to God be the glory, great things you have done. So let's sing together. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Just focus on the words now. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son,
and give
him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the pure hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. You may be seated. Well, that was great. I was really moved up here. It's a beautiful thing to hear you singing. Beautiful. And, you know, one of the things, it's good to pray with accompaniment, but you got to keep one ear open to the accompaniment to see where you are. And if I'm in the Word just looking at it, you know, I'm not thinking about much else, right?
So
those of you who can multitask and do all these great things at once, that's good. But I'm kind of a one track, more or less, not even that at times. Psalm 115, the futility of idols. The futility of idols and the trustworthiness of God. We've had in the last couple of Psalms the majesty and condescension of God. We had the power of God last week. And today we continue on now looking at really the glory of God, the trustworthiness of God, and comparing him to the idols of the world, really to the godless people. We're going to be talking about the wicked. We're going to be talking about the dead. We're going to be talking about the careless. And I like how Spurgeon ended this psalm. He said, I'll just read it so I get it right. But what he said was, though the dead cannot, and the wicked will not, and the careless do not, may we praise God, yet we will shout hallelujah forever and ever. Amen? So I thought that was great. So not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. I think one of the reasons that starts that way is when we start to give God the glory, there's a little part inside of us that kind of puffs us up a little bit. Boy, look at me, I'm praising the Lord. Isn't that great? But he starts off with the opposite. Not unto us, not unto us. But to your name, but to your name, but to your name, give glory. Going through Isaiah right now and reminded of chapter 45, where we'll be this week, and just a little statement that was made to Baruch. And Baruch was told, don't strive for things for yourself. But know this, that if you're faithful, is what I'm paraphrasing, I will give you a prize. I will give you eternal life. And so that is so true, isn't it? You know, Baruch was an interesting guy. He probably thought when he was chosen by the Lord through Jeremiah to write everything down and go in and read it to the princes and all. And then, of course, later it got read by Jehudi to the king Jehoiakim, and he cut it up and threw it in the fire. But I'm sure that probably what Baruch, and Baruch was from a royal family, and his brother was high in the government. So I'm sure what he thought was, man, I'll read that scroll and I'll become well known. But what happened, he became despised and persecuted and all beaten down. And so that chapter 45 is kind of God's encouragement to him, that trust in me and you'll have eternal life. And you know, that's so good, because if we want the glory, what are we going to get glory in this earth? We'll be well known by a dying world, right? By a wicked world, right? You want to be known by a wicked, dying world, or do you want to be known by the Lord? I think that's pretty obvious. But to your name give glory because of your what? Mercy. Think of the mercy of God. Because of your truth. Think of God is not about truth. Christ is not about truth. The Bible is not just about truth. It is truth. All of it is truth. So question, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? Well, I don't know. God can answer that. But my opinion is that godless people just shoot off their mouth. Most of the time they're saying things that don't make any sense at all. And so what happens when, if you deny God, you take this position that I've kind of had victory over God. I don't have to pay attention to him anymore. Now I can direct myself. I can be my own God. Boy, am I not great. As a crater and crash and burn, right? So where is their God? They will say to you, and you hear that all the time, particularly those people you witness to, and they think that you're going to have an easy life and you won't have any problems, and now you come down with cancer or you get in an accident or something like this happens, and you know, well, where is your God, you know? Normally, always the person who says, where is your God, is a person who doesn't know God. They're not walking with him, but they want to blame him for everything. Oh, God is so bad. God is so bad. But, verse 3, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Amen? We need to remember that. We see scripture we don't like, or we hear prophecy we don't like. Get over it, because God's going to do what he says he's going to do, whether you like it or believe it or not. But he does whatever he pleases. Now, the godless ones are discussed now for a number of verses. Their idols are silver and gold. And you know, whether an idol is made of the most expensive gold there is, or whether it's made of a piece of rotten wood, both of them have the same amount of power, don't they? None. The work of men's hands. Now, anytime you make a god, you're going to make it like yourself, but a little bit lower than yourself. So if you make a god like you, but lower than you, and then you want to worship that, how much sense does that make? It doesn't make any, does it? But the work of men's hands. So you put hands on a god, but they can't move. And then they have mouths. You put mouths on there, but they can't speak. Eyes they have. Now, sometimes on the false gods, they'll even put gemstones in for eyes. But whether you put gemstones in or not on an idol, can't see, right? Eyes they have, but they do not see. Now, when you contrast every one of these senses we're talking about with our God, it isn't even a comparison. One is so awesome and the other doesn't exist, really. They have ears, but they do not hear. And sometimes on the false god, they make ears really big. You know, really big. The ears as big as the head you'll see sometime on the false idols. But they can't hear. And it says they have mouths, but they do not speak. So many of the idols that you see have gaping mouths open and often with the tongue hanging out. Just a gross kind of a look, you know. Noses they have. They always have noses. Sometimes they're broken off, but they always had noses. But they do not smell. Hands they do not handle. Feet they have, but they don't walk. Remember in Isaiah, they're talking about Bel and Nebo, and the oxen were weighed down carrying their god. Well, now that's something. And then the other thing, you've got to fasten the god to make it stand up, right? What kind of a god is that? I want a god that carries me. I don't want to have to carry my god. I want a god that has me standing up, not having him stand up, right? So it's just, you know that. Nor do they mutter through their throat. And sometimes people look at idols and they start muttering through their throat and they're thinking that's so spiritual. But it's nothing, really. Those who make them are like them. What a tragic verse that is, in a way, for a person working. Because you become like what you worship, right? So if you're worshiping something like yourself, you're going down. If you're worshiping God, you're going up, right? Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Now we're going to have an exhortation to trust in the Lord to the three kind of layers there in Israel. Israel as a nation. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then the priesthood. Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Exactly the same. And then you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So that same statements, two statements are made to each of the three levels there in the nation, the priesthood, and the fearful ones of the Lord. And then he'll turn right around and he'll say it again in verse 12. He'll talk about Israel, Aaron, and the Lord. That also is given to us in a couple of other Psalms, exactly the same way. I've got it here someplace. But I think it's Psalm 18, and I think it's, I can't remember the other one. But anyway, it's also in a couple of other Psalms where it's the same progression there as it is here. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. That's the key. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Listen to this, both small. How different that is from the world. In the world, the great, supposed great, get all the blessings, and the poor give them the blessings. But he gives small and great his blessings. He will bless, he will bless, he will bless. And then the request, verse 14, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. Don't look at that as just physical, financial health and all of those kinds of things, which I think he does give us what we need and all. But the increase is hope, faith, love, all those things that are eternal, right? You and your children. Our children are blessed. Any child of a believer is blessed. Any child of a believer of both mother and father is really blessed. Any child who is living with a believer who is a mother and a father is extraordinarily blessed. Verse 15, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. He's not going to overrule you in this lifetime. If you say, I don't choose you, Lord, and I don't want anything to do with you, he will not force you to honor him. So we have a certain free reign on earth, but he rules the heavens, and he can overrule on the earth when he wants for our good. Now we have the dead. The dead do not praise the Lord. Have you ever thought of that? We praise the Lord now because we're alive. Now we'll praise the Lord forever because we're forever alive, because we don't die, do we? A Christian does not die. Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, right? But the dead, basically, probably are talking here about a dead body, but what we're talking about when we say that John 11 statement of Jesus is the whole body, I mean, the body, soul, and the spirit will never die. The body will die. This body will die. It actually goes into the ground and dies so we can have a glorified body. So much beauty there. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. So even while you're still breathing, if you totally never praise the Lord, you just go down in silence. And so that's back to that same thing we had. The dead cannot, the wicked will not, and the careless do not praise the Lord. But, verse 18, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And then that familiar, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Father, we're totally inadequate to really understand you, but we can understand enough to see the comparison between you and any other idol, any idol. So, Lord, even as John would say in his epistles, keep yourself from idols. And we know anything that we worship, anything that's high on our list, is an idol. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And we're here to pray. And so we want to pray effectively, which means in accordance with your will, which means as led by the Holy Spirit. So guide us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. As we come near to the end of the hour, just wanted to mention a couple of things that are on my heart. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to Wednesday night to see that 90 minutes of Amir Sephardi and Jack Hibbs on Israel. But if you haven't seen it, it's on, you can get it on ccch.org, I think it is. But it was very informative. I didn't know the difference between Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and Hezbollah, and who's the financial arm behind each of those. But Amir knows all that kind of stuff, and he did a good job of outlining that. I didn't know that Hamas is not Palestinian. Hamas is for Muslims. They want to have a new Muslim government for the world. They're not just interested in Israel. But they all have the same commonality of hating Israel. They can't stand each other. They shoot each other. But at a time like this, then they come together. And we've talked today about pain and suffering in the world. Yes, there's pain and suffering in the world. But you know it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We want this nation to turn, yes. But just think about the preparation for Israel to go into the promised land. 40 years in the wilderness. All died off, all the unbelievers. Then Deuteronomy, telling everybody of the younger age exactly what's going to happen. And what happened? By the time Joshua's elders' descendants came on the scene, they'd gone into idolatry. By the third generation. And you can't, every single one of the Israelites, kids all the way up, were schooled in what they should do. But they didn't do it. Now, we want to pray for our kids. We want to pray for our pastors. We want to pray for everybody. But the facts are, a Whitfield is not going to do anything but short term. And after every Whitfield, after every Spurgeon, even after Pastor Chuck and all, what happens? The work dissipates. Because God is not going to have a man that you're looking to. You're going to look to him, right? But where to stand? And one of the things that came out of Wednesday night for me was such an encouragement to stand for Israel. You see what's going on in the anti-Semitism right here in Los Angeles and all over the place? So stand for Israel. We need to stand for Israel because that's interlocked with Christianity. And we need to stand for Christ. Yeah, we want to bring down these wicked leaders and all, but they're going to be there. We're going to have, we've always had wicked leaders. Think of Paul asking to pray for Nero, who was chopping heads off and lighting people a fire for in his garden at night. And we're to pray for him. So pray for them. But you and I need to speak up when we have that opportunity for Jesus and also for Israel. Because there's so much resistance, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. But we have, when is light effective? It's when it's in the darkness. It's not, how's your faith going to grow when you're not tested? It's not going to grow at all. So we're going to be tested. The church is going to be tested. And I know you're here, so you're praying, and praise the Lord, right? Let's just close here in bless the Lord, O my soul, because we've been talking about him blessing us all day long. And let's just sing, you know this 10,000 Reasons song, but let's just sing it together, and then we'll close in prayer.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new
Lord, on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
as we close here, I think I already said that once, but as we close here the second time, I just want to read some familiar scriptures from the Gospel of Luke. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear. In the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, this is for us. They're all for us, but this is where we leave. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We're getting closer, aren't we? We're closer than anybody's ever been. We are more blessed than anybody's ever been. We have received the blessings of the Lord greater than any time up till this point. So on one hand, we have great distress. On the other hand, we have great blessings. But we're the ones with the blessings. The world out there is the ones with the great distress without the blessings. So we pray for them, right? Father, thank you for this precious group. So precious. Hear their cries, Lord. Hear their prayers. Hear our prayers, Lord. And we do want to bless you. We do want to praise you. We do want to honor your name. So bless as we go our separate ways, Lord, knowing that we're bound by the cords of your love, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming.